to you on the digital engagement project.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. My name is Chris Gift. I'm a Vice President of Online Community Services at ICANN. And I'm here to, as Jonathan pointed out, to talk about a digital engagement project that we're launching, and would very much like to hear your thoughts on this project and how we move forward. So I think we can all agree that, in general, we need to increase the breadth and diversity of people participating in ICANN and give them more venues and vehicles to participate and engage in dialogue. The mechanisms that we do that today are certainly, you know, online our meetings here, remote participation, as well as working group support. But in general, what I'm going to talk about today is I'm going to go through a few things. I'm going to discuss how we view the problem, so I want to make sure that we have a shared view of that problem. And then I'm going to share two means of how we're going to approach that problem and try to resolve it. So again, what I'm here to do is talk about digital engagement, and the way we sort of think of it, or I shouldn't say sort of, but the way we think of it is in a continuum of engagement. Right? People don't engage in organizations such as ICANN digitally. They're either engaged or not engaged. They really fall along a line where they may be, you know, come to this organization where they express some general interest in the topic or what it is that we discuss. They may over time become more engaged, you know, depending on their level of interest. And then over a great, even greater period of time, they may become even highly involved where they join a working group and participate more fully. And this depends on a variety of things. It depends on their personal interests. It depends on their professional lives. And it depends on the specific topics. So this individual will also move in and out, right? Depending on if they get busier at work. And we all see this in our own lives and how we engage with ICANN. And it also depends on the topic. I may be very interested in who is, as we were just discussing moments ago, but at the same time, I have maybe totally indifferent about IDNs. And so on one topic, I want to be highly engaged. On the other topic, I just maybe want to follow with some general interest. Right? So this, and people may not fall, may not also end up at one end or the other. Again, you know, they may fall in the middle of this. And we don't really support that well. So I'm going to go into that in a second. And obviously, there mustn't be any artificial barriers. Right? There are enough barriers in terms of the complexity of the topic and what it is that we do that that's enough of a barrier that we shouldn't have artificial barriers in terms of people participating. So how does this look, and how do we sort of frame this, certainly in the GSC team, is we start to look at it as a series of concentric circles, with obviously people starting on the outer layer with general interest, and then moving inwards to what we would view as the core team or the core people who participate in the working groups at the center of those concentric circles. And in each one of those circles, we support them or inform them in different ways. Right? If it's they're moving in, we simply inform them, provide them information. As they become more interested, we engage with them or want to engage with them. And then lastly, we support them as they participate in working groups. And right now, we do that through a variety of means. But when it comes to digital tools, I think this is more accurately how we could probably model ICANN today, right? Is that, there's a website out there called ICANN.org, and I know GNSO has their own sites, and SOACs have their own sites. And really what I'm discussing is ICANN.org, right? So let's just be clear about that. So we have the means for people to sort of come to ICANN.org and get information. And then we provide some level of support when they're in the working groups. We, you know, some meeting tools, but not many. But there's really not much in between, right? There's nothing there that says there's nowhere where I can go to ICANN.org and I don't see a join button anywhere. And actually, if you read most of the text, I actually went through all the I couldn't say all the text since I think there are over 12,000 pages on ICANN.org. But I did scour through it trying to find a description on how to join ICANN, and I couldn't find it. I know if you go to the ACNSOs, they do have language. The GNSO has language on how to join and how to participate, but not so on ICANN. So obviously, there's a big gap here, and so this is the issue that we are looking to solve and want to do it. And if we do it properly, we'll allow people to jump and move through seamlessly at a pace that's appropriate for them into the working groups, and we could continue to have new blood, new people, new perspectives at all levels joining ICANN. Another way to view this, though, is when we start to look at what it is that's necessary at each one of these levels, the way I sort of look at it is this. I sort of flatten the circles out and not have them so much as concentric, but more overlapping circles. Because it's a better way of understanding at how, while, again, you know, I may be participating in this continuum of engagement at different levels of activity, nonetheless, any one of you, they're not separate, right? I'm not going to engage in a working group and then everything else is in a separate perspective or experience, right? My dialogue with ICANN is overlapping. That information is overlapping. That experience is overlapping. But there are nonetheless separate experiences. And so when I start to think about it, or when we start to think about this digitally, how can we support this and how can we create a unified user experience that makes sense, we start to look at it this way, where we have these three things where we inform people, you know, with topical briefings and blogs, learning, calendars, and then we engage with them, and then obviously we support working groups with a wide variety of tools. The way I think about this is also when I try to describe to people, is I try to describe a vision of what, if we do this properly, what is it that we could end up with, right? What is the experience that we would want to promote? And one way I talk about it is to say, is to try and envision somebody working through this, a new person, a newcomer, because that's right now is where I'm very focused on this, is to say, you know, if you have a new lady, an individual, a young lady who joins or who her interest is piqued by a tweet, by a blog post, by a news article on some particular content or topic around, ICANN and Internet governance, and she comes to ICANN.org and she is able to, you know, perhaps it is who is topic and she's concerned about privacy and data privacy. And she comes to ICANN, and it is easy for her to find content on who is and to find out how the policies affect her and how who is relevant to her and a language that's accessible to her. Right? I think some of these themes I think we can see are already issues. And as she comes, she sees this information and content. She's presented with the ability to talk with like-minded people. So in other words, she's presented with the opportunity to participate in forums or to perhaps even blog herself about this topic as she learns more about it. And as she continues to engage with like-minded people, so not necessarily people like yourselves who are very, very engaged and very sophisticated about the topic. I mean, there's a big barrier there. It's hard for you and this lady to talk. So she'd want to talk with like-minded people who are less sophisticated, but nonetheless, you know, just as concerned or just as interested in this topic. It'd be more comfortable for her. And as she does so, as she continues to engage, she then is offered educational opportunities. You know, we present courses to her to say, okay, you're in this forum on who is, and you're talking about who is. Well, here's a series of classes on who is if you want to learn more about it. And again, if you take one class, we can offer her a second class and so on and so forth. And as this goes on over time and she engages further and further, you know, we present her with the opportunity to join a working group because we'll say, okay, you know, this individual is clearly very interested, has gained a fair amount of knowledge on who is of the topic over the past few months, and is a candidate for joining a working group. So that allows us to look at expertise location and helping people, again, drive at their own pace, drive inwards into a to the level that's comfortable to them in terms of participating. So if we have something like this and we start to say, okay, this is, you know, maybe the not necessarily the complete list, but a list of things that we could work on and integrate and experiences that we could do, the question that I very quickly ran across when I started talking to this with people was, how do we build it? Right? And how do we build it? How do we get down to the nitty-gritty of the feature details? And how do we build this? How do we test it? And how do we do this at ICANN where it's bottoms up, right? And it's consensus. So as we ramp up these digital efforts, and as I ramp them up, you know, at Durban and post-Durban, I really wanted to find a mechanism. We wanted to find a mechanism that can involve all of you in the building of what I had just discussed, right? Because at the end of the day, these tools are for all of us. They're for the community to talk amongst each other, right? So I don't want to be imposing things. So the way we're going to go about doing this, what I'd like to present and offer as a mechanism for us doing this, is something called ICANN Labs. And ICANN Labs is a place where we're going to start putting up ideas. We're going to say, okay, you know, we want to do online learning. Well, here's how we would like to do it. You know, here's a proposal. We would like to have a forum. Well, you know, here's a potential forum technology, or here is a potential prototype for this. We'd like to start sharing ideas and then also go to the next level in terms of showing wireframes. And then from wireframes, moving on to prototypes. And then from prototypes, then moving on to production. And at every level, people can participate. The community can participate. Now, it's not quite there yet. So if you go, if you do go into labs, the ICANN Labs, this is just starting. And we're going to be adding capabilities and features. But the notion is that people will be able to vote and dialogue on what's working and what's not working. Another area of interest that we want to test here is public comment. Right, there's a lot of interest in experimenting with different public comment technology and tools so we can work on increasing the number of public comments that we get. And I know the comments themselves are high quality, but the breadth of comments that we get from individuals and people. So this would be a place where we can do that with some level of comfort, knowing that we're not impacting a PDP process by testing a new application or a new tool for public comment. So ICANN Labs is someplace where we're going to be very active with trying out new things, and we really hope that the community comes and does that with us and tries and experiments and works with us on trying to create these tools for the community, for collaboration within the community. If we do this right, the way we're going to move through this is through three phases. Phase one is very focused on the initial engagement and the awareness and trying to bring people into the circles. So that is where we're focused right now. So we're going to be looking at tools that do that. Social tools allow people, when they do participate and dialogue, you know, allow people to use social logins. Make sure that the conversations that are happening happen in existing communities, so not just at ICANN.org, but allow these dialogue to filter out to other communities, LinkedIn, Facebook, whatever the communities are out there. And then obviously through further phases, which will happening later in the year and then the next year, we'll deal with the issues where around the inner circle in terms of supporting that work. I realize I only have a couple minutes. I don't want to be between you and lunch, so I'm going to hurry through the next few slides. This work is being divided into four tracks. If you do go to labs, you'll see the four tracks, and then we'll be publishing more information over the week about those tracks. So I won't go into much detail then. When is this launching, and what's happening next? Labs is launching now, or Monday, I think, is the official day. And then we'll be working through this through mid-September, August and mid-September, through prototyping some tools, doing some work. And then September and early October, we'll be reporting on those findings. And then some of those tools will then be moving through prototype into production, depending on the feedback, right, on what happens. So we're moving into production in the late fall to late fall, and then into the winter. So that's one thing. And I'll move very rapidly on the second one. That's one track that we're doing to work through in some of these tools and make sure that people engage, that we build the things that are useful to you as a community. The second one is Open ICANN, and this is still very much a concept, so please take it as such. There's a lot of work that needs to go into this idea. It's a very new concept and nascent, so just bear that in mind. It's obvious you see a lot of work. Can't build this all, or I don't think we can build it all. Expensive, difficult, and complex. And there's also the issue that people in this day and age, people want to use their own tools. You know, yes, we want a unified experience, but at the same time, you know, somebody uses Google Docs, Google Calendar, or they use Outlook, or whatever it is that they happen to use, you know, Dropbox for managing their documents. The tools today, people have their own set of tools and preferred work methods. And we don't want to ignore that. We don't want to force people to come in and work within one environment at ICANN that is the only place. You really want to provide the means for them to do some work, but also integrate their preferred work methods. Right. Certainly that's how experiences are moving forward in the future. So what we want to do is sort of cherry pick, and I'm not suggesting this is the list. I just picked some almost at random. But we want to pick some of the core experiences, and we want to focus on those. And then the rest, we want to we do want to work on if we can, but we want to enable other people to do them. Either other internet governance associations to work on them, either individuals at ICANN, whether SOACs want to invest in those other areas, and the way that I can network. So again, very early stages, but we want to create a structure where a lot of the public data is programmatically accessible to individuals, the community, and to other organizations. There are individuals access their profiles, some of the content within the working groups, and do so so that they can work within their own environments. You know, there's a wide variety of information we'd like to discuss putting forward, putting some things out there for thought. You know, things like programmatically accessible, policies, the board resolutions. All of this data is available today, but if you want it, you have to screen scrape it. Right? But why shouldn't it be accessible for somebody to mash up with something else? You know, a lot of organizations are, for instance, GIPO out of Europe is looking to do this. The Global Internet Policy Observatory is looking to bring to bear a lot of information from different internet governance organizations into one place, including others organizations which have some bearing, like the OECD and others. So everything relative to that is in one place. And so to be able to participate in those, we need to make this data programmatically available. And so what I'd like to think about is, and work on over the next few months, is the means of doing this and what data is, obviously there's a lot that needs to be decided. What data is publicly accessible, programmatically accessible, how is it accessed, what are the rules around access, right, what are the authorizations, a lot of work that needs to go into that. But nonetheless, you know, doing this, I think very much aligned, this work is very much aligned with our organizational values. It makes us very, very transparent and open. So it's not just on the website. Again, you could download this and use this data in your own systems. It's very transparent, and it's very flexible for members. Not only just ICANN as a whole, but members themselves can access data and use it as they see fit. Again, next steps, we're very early phases on this one. Work will hopefully begin in earnest in September, and that's when we'll have some further requirements and due diligence over the rest of the summer. And some project estimates on this, and be able to share more with you. But again, if you have any ideas in the meantime, please come forward and share them with me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on both of them, but specifically this one as well. Lastly, if we do this and we move forward in this manner, I think we'll have a very user-led strategy. Instead of us imposing things, these tools will be created with you hand in hand, and you'll participate in this process. And we'll have a digital platform which is very visible and transparent and accessible. All our tools will be going forward will be accessible. And again, just very, very transparent, and one that is not so much a publication platform that we have today, but one that fulfills both functions of engagement and publication. 1229.
Well done, Chris. Thanks. I know this is something you feel very passionately about. It strikes me that this is a significant commitment, a significant initiative, and something that's potentially quite transformational. And I would hope people recognize it as that and question and give you input accordingly. I don't know if that strikes, if there's any positive remarks, questions, negative remarks, thoughts, be great. I'm sure Chris would very much welcome hearing them. I think, as I said, this is quite a substantial change. Any comments? Yeah, fire away, Holly.
The problem is not actually getting at transparent information. The problem is, for instance, if you've got a who is, you've got a whole bunch of lists of documents. I know what they are, but if I don't know anything about who is, I have no idea what you're talking about. So unless you actually provide, in words of one syllable, simple information about what people should be looking for, all the tools in the world are not going to help.
For me? No, absolutely. Language, languages.
It's just language.
The terminology, right?
You need to explain to people why something is important, what it is, so that when they actually read some stuff, there is a way in. You've got lots of information for highly, you know, in people like us who actually live and breathe this stuff. You've got people out there who have no idea why it's important, and unless you actually can lead them through then they're not going to be the slightest bit interested with getting into with you with regardless of the tools?
No, I absolutely, and that's what I meant by language. I apologize. I didn't mean, the terminology and language. It absolutely has to be accessible. I do view and agree with you 100% that our terminology is opaque, and it is itself a barrier. And tools does not solve that problem. Another issue that I see around the very same, closely related to that, is, for instance, our documentation is non-standardized. You know, depending on who is publishing the documentation, it's very different. And so I'd like to resolve that issue, because I think it's related as well and related to these tools. They can't be effective. I agree with you. They cannot be effective if we don't resolve those issues. So we're aware of that. I agree with you. The tools don't solve them. No, I agree. All I can say is that we are working on that. We don't have any. Cannot propose a ready solution to that, because we are looking at. You know, I know we've discussed internal training around document authoring and writing and some other things like that. But that's all I can propose. But I do acknowledge that that is very important.
Okay, Chris. I'm conscious that there's others also who would like to come into this. I've got Wolf Ulrich. I've got Evan, I've got Wolfgang, I've got David, and
And then lunch. Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Chris. It is. I think it is an important project, and I understood you that you mentioned that you are going to focus on the newcomers. So that's what I understood. I think that's essential and that's necessary, really. So because, you know, there are different levels of experience and knowledge here in the whole community. And everybody has a different approach to that. Everybody in this room went through this ethical from that. The people came in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years ago, and they tried. So I remember myself, so when I entered this community and tried well to get fit with the website. So this is one thing. So, and I would like to ask you then also to take care of these different experience levels within different working groups, for example, and so. And I would say that those people, those groups, they wouldn't like to. That somebody comes, steps in, and is going to touch this their environment, because they have already a specific environment in how to communicate, how to put information on their websites, and how to deal with that. So this is essential. Well, to do that, maybe that these types of groups, different communities, have to be. Get in touch with you. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Evan.
Hi there. My comment, I guess, can be summarized in two words: institutional memory. In my 5 years that I've been involved here, I think this is now the third iteration of let's do some new website, shiny new toys. And every time this happens, there's documents that are lost, things that we can't find anymore. And this causes all sorts of problems. I still now find websites that point to information, at least from our constituency, that don't exist anymore, or go to a file not found, or whatever, where we expected them to be, because some reorganization has happened and things have been lost. There's another form of institutional memory, and that is there seems to be no consideration of things that ICANN has done that have worked well, that haven't been panned out. For instance, there was a fellow named Scott Pinzon did a number of really good podcasts for us. And one day, that program just sort of vanished into thin air. You know, there's things that have worked well. And I'd really suggest, rather than just saying, okay, we're looking forward and looking at all these new things, there are things that ICANN has done well in the past that are worth revisiting. So I'm just going to suggest, in terms of not only the memory of don't lose documents, don't lose things when you do this new stuff, and also have a look back at things that have worked before just saying we're tossing it and starting something new. Thanks.
Thanks, Evan. I've got Wolfgang, David, Tony, and then Zahid, and then Jen, and then we really should call it a day.
Thanks. A very brief question. May I ask you know what the budget is for the digital engagement project?
The budget for this year is $450,000.
David?
Thank you, David Cake. Okay, first, with all sort of due respect to Chris, who has obviously put a lot of work into sort of making an engaging sort of presentation with his stories of a hypothetical young woman and her journey into the fascinating world of internet governance. This is exactly at our last council meeting. This is exactly the sort of thing where we're largely getting a briefing on some quite complex material, and I think a lot of the council would have benefited if we had sort of more effective use could have been made of our time if we had more written material to supplement a shorter briefing. I really would like to hear more about this, but I think a lot of us cope better if it was in written form, and we would get through it a bit quicker and have more time for questions, and be able to ask more informed questions. Okay, so that said, secondly, I'd just like to sort of say, I find the idea of engaging with ICANN as a whole sort of daunting in that I'm not sure I've really engaged with ICANN as a whole. I still have no idea, what the CCNSO is up to and so on. Any engagement with ICANN really needs to be through its sort of constituent parts, through the GNSO, through the GSO constituencies, and that sort of natural paths in, I think. And that means that we need to have not so much a ICANN needs to be coordinating a strategy of its parts.
Can you just make a pause for the line? Sorry. Terribly sorry, the line's dropped. Sorry, the line's dropped. So we have to pause.
So the point is that the external line has dropped, so we're just going to hold for a minute, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, just pausing for remote access.
Pausing for effect.
Welcome to the conference calling center.
We seem to not be getting inside audio, but I'll just speak loudly. I think the... Oh, no, it is on. I'm just saying I think that attempting to engage with all of ICANN at once, or to have one strategy for engaging with all of ICANN at once is going to be... I'm not sure that's the way forward. A coordinating role to help all of the parts that need to reach out and engage through, like GNSO and ALAC and so on, community leaders and so on, and work out what's appropriate would be helpful. In that respect, I'll hopefully we can hear from the digital engagement strategy as individual constituencies and SOs and ACs and things going forward. That's it.
Tony.
Thank you. My comment and questions really build on some of the issues that have been raised by Wolf Ulrich, Ewan, and David as well. And it's something that I think all of us recognise as a need, but I'm still struggling at this stage with understanding how this work is going to be progressed to meet the requirements of all, because I haven't seen anything that suggests that there is a set of requirements that have been established, and those requirements are probably going to vary across the groups. So my question to you is how this work is going to be taken forward. I cannot see that this is an initiative that can just be driven by staff and capture everyone's requirements. At the same time, I don't see that progress in this work and then coming back for comments from groups such as GNSO is going to be helpful. So my question really is, how is this going to be taken forward? I would have thought there was a need for some form of group, cross-ICANN group, where the GNSO and other groups would engage right from day one and not halfway down the path. So what is the thinking in terms of taking this work forward so that all of the groups that are going to be impacted from this can engage right from day one and get involved in this?
Chris, would you like to respond?
Yes, I'll just be very brief. So this is day one, right? This is the very beginning of this project. We're not in the middle of it or anything like that. This is what I'm here to do, is to announce that we are beginning this work and would like to invite you along. So how we all do it together is in ICANN Labs. So that's the forum we would like to use. And the reason we do that is we want to try that is because, to your point about requirements and so on, it's a place where we're going to start sharing those requirements. We're going to say, okay, here's the list of things that we want to do, the features that we want to do, the capabilities we want to support. Here are the requirements, here are the wireframes, and here are some prototypes, and we want people to try them.
When you say we, who are you referring to as we?
So the ideas and the capabilities will come from staff and the community. It'll be a place where you can propose things. You can propose requirements. You can say, you know, I need to have better document support, or if we're talking about engagement, you know, I need a multi-threaded means for people to do public comment. That's what I think would be a great idea. So the community will propose ideas, and then we have a development staff that we have that'll take them and then wireframe them out, create mock-ups, and then if everybody agrees on those mock-ups, so you will be able to say, yes, this multi-threaded public commenting system seems to be what I was talking about. And then we will prototype it. And then when we prototype it, you can try it, and then we'll move forward.
Okay, Tony, a brief response.
Yes, really, it's a question maybe partly to you, Jonathan. In terms of the answer just given, how would you see the GNSO, for instance, engaging in this process as GNSO? Where would that be driven from? Is that something that's going to come through council, or how is that engagement going to work?
It's a challenging question, Tony. I think it's. I think, as I've understood it, we, as the GNSO council, or elements of the GNSO, could deal if we've needed a particular tool set or mechanism for either working together or engaging. We could do it via the open. That's the way I understand it. But this is pretty new to me as well, so I'm digesting. I mean, Chris, do you want to respond?
I've got a
queue. I don't want to be ignoring Zahid, Jen, and John, and lunch.
Yeah, I think we can continue to talk about this. I think we should talk about it, how do the SOs and GNSO specifically engage as a group as well, besides just individuals. I think we should still talk about it, you know, obviously not today, but we could resolve it. How that happens.
Because I think one of the points is that we always deal with is the diversity and complexity of the GNSO, and here you're just seeing the council, which has representation from all elements of the GNSO, but that's anyway, I'm conscious that Zahid has been patient. I've got Jen and John, and then we'll really close the queue on this.
Thank you. Chris, thank you so much for this presentation. I think you're grappling an issue no one has really been able to solve, is how do we get people more involved in ICANN from outside? And there are various reasons for that, historical and otherwise, and we're different people in different groups. So really appreciate, you know, ICANN trying to do something about this. I think the concerns some folks might have, and this has been an ongoing concern whenever an outreach and engagement takes place, is to what extent would, and I'll just say it frankly, would there be a staff capture of future engagement within different silos, or call them constituencies, stakeholder groups, et cetera. So that's the issue. And whatever you can do to build confidence that you will work in close coordination with those groups, I think that will reduce this sort of concern in that respect. So that may be one hopefully helpful comment. But I think it's an interesting thing that you're doing. We do need to do something here. And sure, we do something, it fails, we try again, but we have to try something. So I think that's a good way to go forward. I would like to understand the, if you can now or maybe later, provide a breakdown as to the budget, as to, you know, the 450K, about nearly half a million, where it's going to go. I think that's something I think the GNSO would, some people might like to know. How it's allocated, and it's good that you're saying this is day one, which means that we have the ability to be able to provide input as we go forward. I know as a BC councillor, I'd like to go back and discuss this with our constituency and stakeholder groups. I think you might want to think about when you say, well, you can let us know, set up some sort of a system where different actors on an individual basis, as a stakeholder group or as a constituency, are able to interact with you directly. And what that sort of medium might be, what that contact point might be, how that would be done, you may have to do some thinking about that. That, again, would really, you know, talk to my first point, which is that they would feel more comfortable that, okay, we have a straight line of contact with you and be able to give you input. And lastly, I think Holly's point was very important. Whatever you build up, I think the biggest problem is that people on the outside don't understand. I mean, I remember seeing one of these presentations, which was an excellent presentation. You know, that the whole map where the people are standing and they're sort of, you know, the new stuff we've got out. The trouble is when you start that and say, well, what does ICANN do? It starts off with this one statement saying, we manage names and numbers on the internet. That you just lost everybody the moment you start that. And to a person who doesn't understand what that means, you're talking about website addresses and IP addresses. And so to some extent that language has to be able to speak to common, ordinary people who do not understand that. And maybe, you know, who is not what you want to say. Who is, which means, and you put a big disclaimer, because people are going to get very upset when I say this, put a big disclaimer saying, this is not the actual language you use, but to give you an idea, this is about who controls or, you know, who holds the domain name or the website address. Maybe that's one way to go about it. So a new person understands what you're trying to say. Because, I mean, the ownership concept is contentious within whether you own a domain name or not. But you need to figure out words that you can use. So that would be my input. Thank you. And thanks again for the time you took.
Jen, and then John.
Thanks. Jennifer Wolf. Just a couple of quick comments. I think just piggybacking off of what we started with this morning about the importance of engaging more people, getting more people involved in ICANN, this is really a critical step because we live in a digital world. And most people outside of ICANN use social networks, they use crowdsourcing, they live their lives professionally and personally online and digitally. And so I think it's really important that ICANN has taken a step from the staff perspective to create an actual strategy and start using some of those tools. And I'm really impressed with all of the different tools that you're looking at and how they integrate and how they work together to engage more people. So I appreciate it, and I would be happy to help personally in supporting whatever you're doing in terms of getting involved in some of those strategies that you're rolling out. The second point that I think is really important is when you're looking at engaging new people, they might not necessarily define themselves by the stakeholder groups that exist today. And I think it's important that we don't force people into one of those buckets and that general user engagement exists and that as they become engaged, they feel supported as a just general member or someone interested in ICANN. So I think that's really important because I think that's one of the barriers that keeps people out.
Did you want to respond, Chris?
Thanks, Jen. And then we'll go over to John.
Thank you, Jonathan. I think everything I was going to say has just been said. So I'm out.
Well, thanks very much, everyone. I think John suddenly found himself hungry. But
thank you very much, Chris. It sounds like you've got some strong support in principle, but some areas to engage yourself with as well. So that's great. Thanks, everyone. I had a brief preview of this and thought it was very important, and clearly it does seem to have captured people's imagination. Let's take a break now with lunch for the next 40 minutes or so and call you all back to the table around 1:30. Thanks a lot.